conferences on the Legion Promise. There's not a whole lot written about the Legion Promise. Just Cardinal Suinen's book called The Theology of the Apostolate. Have any of you read this book? I see. Okay. It's a very difficult book to get. It was written back in 1953, went through 9 printings, and reprinted again in 1979. I think the Concilium still has some of these available. As far as you know, it's out of print, but I think the Concilium still has a number of copies available. And you might want to maybe get your treasurer or someone to order this from the Concilium. It's a great book, and we should really know a little bit more about the Legion Promise, because it is our entranceway into membership in the Legion. There's a lot of deep theology and rich spirituality in the Legion Promise. Now, a lot of people don't even know who wrote the Promise. It was written by Frank Duff, and he wrote it on Pentecost Sunday, about the year 1928 or 1929. And it's an amazing promise, because the way it came to be written was that they knew that they needed something to make somebody officially a member of a Legion, and especially when the Legion went, from Ireland into England and Scotland and Wales, they needed something that they could, send over there that people could officially become members. And so there was a big discussion in the Concilium at that time. It wasn't called the Concilium yet, but in the Legion Council, on how they would get this Legion Promise to be written. And Frank Duff and some of the priests all volunteered to, give it a shot and try it. So 3 or 4 priests decided that during this next upcoming month they would try to write some sort of a Legion Promise through which people could become members of the Legion. And Frank Duff tried his hand at it as well. So Frank Duff went down to Mount Mellery, which was the abbot, I believe it's a Benedictine abbot or Trappist, down in a little bit south of Dublin. So he went down there and spent the whole weekend, and on Pentecost Sunday, almost this entire promise came to him as an inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I'll read you what he says about how the promise is written. Have all of you seen this particular book here? Okay, this is the Living Autobiography. This is a great book. Is that you have to make the member declare some understanding of what the Legion really is and say it in circumstances that are of great solemnity. This requires some degree of faith, real faith, and then to take the further step of refusing to incorporate into the organization a person who raises difficulties about this. Obviously, that declaration was just like the physical things of the Legion, such as the testator, the vexillum. Okay, so Frank Duff says, so it was on Pentecost Sunday. I hesitate in giving you the year because I don't really recall it. I was down at the monastery of Mount Mellery that the detailed idea presented itself to me, and the rather electrifying conclusion emerged that it must be directed to the Holy Spirit and not to Our Lady. That's what you would call electrifying, because up to that stage, while the prayers began with the Holy Spirit and while the Holy Spirit surmounted these artistic things, still Our Lady was the dominant personality. Our Lady was what people thought of, and in a very secondary way, the Holy Spirit. But out of that came the revolutionary notion, we've got to put first things first. And the promise was written in the form in which it now exists. I would say that that was rather a momentous moment in the history of the Legion. It was a moment of comprehension when the Legion for the first time really got some glimpse of itself as the Legion of the Holy Spirit. We were not switching over, so to speak, our allegiance. We weren't rejecting our Blessed Lady in favor of something bigger. No, we were seeing more clearly into Mary, and what emerged from it was a tremendous awareness of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit was within her, and that was how the Legion Promise emerged. So I think that's very interesting and very important for us to realize that it was written by Frank Duff, and it was a truly inspired prayer, a truly inspired promise. Now, when they got back to the meeting, all the priests and Frank Duff had their copies of the Legion Promise ready to read, and then the whole body would decide which one was the best, and they would accept that. Well, the priest said, well, since Brother Frank Duff's a layman, we'll let him go first, you know, because he doesn't know as much theology and things like that. So Frank Duff unfolded his paper, and he opened it up and took it out of his pocket, and he said, Most Holy Spirit, I, desiring to be enrolled this day as a legionary of Mary, yet knowing that of myself I cannot render worthy service, do ask of thee to come upon me and fill me with thyself. And as the further and further he read, all the priests ripped up their own. They folded up theirs and they put them back in their pockets. And so none of them even dared to read their own version of the Legion Promise, because every one of them had written it to the Blessed Mother. But Frank Duff had gone deeper into the Legion spirituality. Like he says, it's really the Legion of the Holy Spirit. But we believe that Mary is one with the Holy Spirit and united to the Holy Spirit. And so it's really, being in the Legion of Mary is like being in the Legion of the Holy Spirit. That's why the color of the handbook is red for the Holy Spirit. The Legion colors are red. And we open our Legion meetings with a prayer to the Holy Spirit. And so those priests were sort of somewhat embarrassed that day by the great wisdom and insight of Frank Duff, the founder of the Legion. Now, Frank Duff says that the Legion Promise is really the profession of faith in the Legion spirituality. You know, when somebody becomes a Catholic, they have to profess the faith. They have to read the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. So when somebody becomes a legionary, they too have to profess the faith, which is the teaching, the doctrine, the spirituality of the Legion. So the Legion Promise is designed that it's not an easy promise to make theologically, because it requires a degree of faith and belief in doctrine and devotion in order to enter into the ranks of the Legion membership. So not just anybody can say the promise. I know of people that have been very good legionaries. They did all their assignments and all their meetings, but they were in the Legion for 3 months, then they got the extension for another 3 months before they made the promise. When it came down to it, they just couldn't say the promise, because one person, for example, had a very difficult time in accepting Mary as the mediatrix of all grace, or accepting this phrase that all gifts, virtues, and graces are administered by the Blessed Mother. He couldn't do it, and he couldn't become a legionary. He couldn't make the promise. So you see, it's an entranceway. Like if somebody doesn't accept the teachings of the church, they shouldn't be brought into the church. Or if somebody doesn't believe in the teachings of the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, then they shouldn't become a member of the church. You need to believe in the teachings in order to be a member. So the same thing with the Legion Promise. It's the gateway, the creed, through which we enter the Legion. So some of the doctrines that are mentioned in the Legion Promise would be things such as Mary as the mediatrix of all graces. All graces that Jesus won come to us through Mary's intercession. Another doctrine would be the close union of Mary and the Holy Spirit, that they are one. So the handbook and the promise give us a beautiful blend of doctrine and devotion. Now you'll notice in the Legion Promise that you'll see here the translation of the Christian idea of perfection into the lives of the laity. For example, if somebody went off to become a religious order priest or a sister, they would have to take the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Now, we in the Legion don't take vows, okay? Remember, it's a promise, not a vow. That's important when I tell people, because sometimes they take it too seriously. They think they're making a vow, and they have to, you know, name all their children after Frank Duff or Adele Quinn or something like that. So people have to realize that it's not a, you know, it's not a vow, but it is a promise. So people shouldn't take it too seriously as far as thinking that, you know, they're becoming a priest or a nun. That's not the way it is. Nor should they take it too lightly. Some people just read it as if it were a prayer. That wouldn't be right either. So you need to realize that it is a sacred promise. But it's not a vow, and it's not just a prayer. So it has, you need to have that proper understanding of what it is. So when a person makes the Legion Promise, they are trying to live in the world, the spirit of poverty, the spirit of chastity, and the spirit of obedience. And you'll see those three ideas in the Legion Promise. So when I was 18 years old, I memorized the Legion Promise. And when I made the promise, I mostly did it from memory. I had to peek down once or twice to remember a couple words, but it's a beautiful thing to memorize. In fact, Alfie Lam memorized the Legion Promise, and he recited it every day after receiving communion when he was a missionary in Argentina and a missionary down in South America. So notice that the Holy Spirit is the one whom it's addressed to. Most Holy Spirit, I, desiring to be enrolled this day as a legionary of Mary. Now the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Blessed Trinity. And Cardinal Sunnans and many others have said that the Holy Spirit is the forgotten paraclete. Now in most recent years, the Holy Spirit is more well known due to the charismatic movement that has put a great emphasis on the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit. But when Frank Duff wrote this in the late 20s, you didn't hear a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. And today we hear a lot more. So it's saying that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Blessed Trinity, and the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. The eternal love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit with the Father and the Son are worshipped and glorified as one God. And the Holy Spirit is also seen as the soul of the Church, the soul of the mystical body of Christ. And we desire to be enrolled this day as a legionary of Mary. That word desire is very important. Whenever you read the writings of the saints, you'll find that there is one key ingredient to their holiness, and that is their desire to become a saint. If you read the writings of any of the saints, you'll find out that they had a passionate, burning desire to become close to God and to get to heaven and to become a saint. And that's really the first step in the spiritual life, is desire. The desire to become closer to God. Without that desire, we can't move forward. For example, if somebody has an alcohol problem, but they don't really desire to give it up, they're not going to give it up. You first of all need a desire, to a motivation, to get over something or to grow closer to God. So desire is very important. Motivation is very important. My favorite story about motivation is this Texas rancher who was very wealthy. As you know, down in Texas, a lot of people are millionaires. Well, this rancher was a millionaire, and he had thousands of acres of land. He had dozens of producing oil wells, and he had millions of dollars in cash. He also had a beautiful daughter who was 25 years old and who was not married, and this millionaire wanted his daughter married, so he invited all the eligible young men from West Texas to come to his big mansion one evening, and he had an Olympic-sized swimming pool which he filled up with alligators and crocodiles. And he gathered all the young men out on the one end of the pool, and he said, "Young men, whoever is the first to swim across this pool can have one of three things. You can have either $1 million in cash, or you can have 12 of my producing oil wells, or you can have the hand of my beautiful daughter in marriage. And let me tell you, whoever gets her will eventually get all this." Well, no sooner had he said this when he heard a splash at one end of the pool, followed by the emergence of a dripping young man at the other end. He had set a world record that will never be broken. Well, the millionaire goes down and shakes his hand, which is all soaking wet, and says, "Congratulations, son. Which of those three prizes do you want? Do you want $1 million in cash?" The young man says, "No, sir." "Well, do you want 12 producing oil wells?" The young man says, "No, sir." "Well, then I presume that you want the hand of my beautiful daughter in marriage." The young man says, "No, sir." Well, the millionaire says, "Well, for crying out loud, what do you want?" He says, "I want to know the name of that guy who pushed me in that swimming pool." But the moral of that story is, that man was motivated, right? That young man was highly motivated to swim across that swimming pool. And so we too need to be motivated in order to grow closer to God. We need to have that virtue of desire in order to grow closer to God. Then it says, yet knowing that of myself I cannot render worthy service. So here comes the first idea of humility. We want the Holy Spirit to come upon us, but we know that of ourselves we cannot render worthy service because we are sinful and we are poor in spirit. Of course, we should be encouraged that our Lord and our Lady usually choose the weak things of this world to confound the strong. And look at the 12 apostles. They were not the most highly educated or the smartest or the holiest people in Galilee at that time, and yet our Lord chose them. And oftentimes Our Lady appears to saints that are not that intelligent, not that bright. I mean, for example, look at the three children of Fatima, or look at people like St. Bernadette or Juan Diego. Usually it's very simple people, but God uses the simple to confound the strong. So we say that, knowing that of myself I cannot render worthy service, but we ask of you, Holy Spirit, to come upon me and fill me with yourself, so that my poor acts may be sustained by your power and become an instrument of your mighty purposes. So we're asking that the Holy Spirit will take our unworthiness, and even though we're not perhaps the greatest, most talented people in the world, it doesn't matter. With the Holy Spirit on our side, we can do great things for God and do mighty things. Just as Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they weren't the greatest people at that time. For example, Moses had a very difficult time speaking. He had a stuttering problem. And yet God sends him to speak to Pharaoh. They'd be like sending somebody to go speak to the Pope or to the President or to the Queen. God chooses sometimes the weak things of this world. So we ask that the Holy Spirit will come upon us and fill us, just as the Holy Spirit came upon Our Lady at Pentecost and the Apostles of Pentecost and Our Lady at the Annunciation. So the Legion of Promise is like a miniature Pentecost in our lives. But we want the Holy Spirit to come upon us and to fill us with His power that can transform our weakness into strength. So it's like a mini Pentecost and a mini Annunciation. And notice that it says, so that my poor actions may be sustained by that power. Here's the idea of poverty of spirit. That we don't take a vow of poverty in the Legion. We can still have a car and still have a house and material possessions. We don't have to give up those things, whereas in a religious life, a person does. But what we offer is our poverty of spirit. And we ask that the Holy Spirit will come upon us and to fill us so that we become an instrument of God's mighty purposes. Notice it's an instrument. Mother Teresa says we're all like a pencil in the hand of God. The pencil doesn't have much value, but God, who writes with it, can do tremendous things. Father Bradshaw said that we're all like chess pieces being moved by the master chess player, who is our Blessed Mother. And she moves us as her instruments to do great things for God and for the salvation of souls. Mother Teresa, Father Bradshaw, all of them who are really close to God realize that all we are humble instruments. We're like a broom that God uses to clean up things, and then He puts it aside sometimes. But even though a pen or a chess piece or a broom might only be an instrument, and yet who uses those, namely God or Our Lady, can do great things with us if we just willingly offer ourselves to them. It says we can do great things for God, mighty purposes. Then the promise goes on to say, but I know that you, Holy Spirit, who has come to regenerate the world in Jesus Christ, has not willed to do so except through Mary. So it is by the power of Mary and the Holy Spirit that Christ came into the world. And it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit and Our Lady that the world will be converted again to Jesus Christ. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to regenerate the world, but He uses Mary to bring Christ into the world as he did 2,000 years ago, so he does today through the Legion. He's not willed to do this except through Mary. So God has made Mary a necessary part of his plan of grace, that without Mary, we cannot know or love the Holy Spirit. Really, without Mary, we would not have Jesus, right? If Mary had not said yes to God, we would not have our Savior. So we owe a great debt of gratitude to our Blessed Mother for giving us Christ. And if we did not have Christ, he would never have sent us the Holy Spirit. So without Mary, we would have neither Christ nor the Holy Spirit if Mary had refused God's plan in her life. So without Mary, we cannot know or love the Holy Spirit. That it is by her and to whom she pleases, when she pleases, and in the quantity and manner she pleases, that all your gifts and virtues and graces are administered. And this is what we call the doctrine of Mary's mediation of grace. That by Mary, to whomever she wants and wherever she wills, that all of God's graces are distributed by her in the quantity and manner that she pleases. Well, that's a direct quotation from St. Bernard of Clairvaux and also from St. Bernardine of Siena. So Frank Duff drew that idea. He didn't make it up. He took it from the saint, St. Bernard of Clairvaux and St. Bernardine of Siena. The fact that all gifts, virtues, and graces come to us through the Blessed Mother, and also in the quantity and manner that she pleases. Remember at Lourdes, Bernadette could not even make the sign of the cross without Our Lady giving her the grace to do that. Remember that episode? She was praying there, and she tried to say the rosary and make the sign of the cross, and she couldn't even lift her hand up. But once Our Lady made the sign of the cross, Bernadette was able to do that as well. So the graces that God gives us all come through Our Lady's intercession. Now, what exactly are the gifts, virtues, and graces of the Holy Spirit? Well, we know that there are seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you had to memorize those when you got confirmed. They are wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. Those are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. So in the promise, we're praying that Our Lady will give us an outpouring of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that will be more wise, more understanding, more knowledgeable, more courageous, more devoted to our Lord, and have true reverence of God and be able to counsel other people. So we're asking in the promise to receive an outpouring of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And also, what are the virtues of the Holy Spirit? Well, you have the three theological virtues. We're praying for an increase of faith, hope, and love in this promise. We're also praying for the cardinal virtues, an increase in prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. And prudence is the ability to make right decisions. Justice is treating other people as they should be treated, but giving a person what they're due. Temperance is moderation in all things. And fortitude is courage. And so we need these things in the Legion. So all the gifts and virtues and graces will come to us through our Blessed Mother. And we pray for an outpouring of these graces when we make the Legion promise, including the virtue of humility and the virtue of patience and all the virtues that we so dearly need and pray for. But there's also the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. You might have studied these when you got confirmed. The fruits of the Holy Spirit, these are the things that if you're in a state of grace and living with God, these virtues will be there in your life as fruits of the Holy Spirit. For example, a tree produces fruit. And it says that the Church teaches us that if that we're living in the Holy Spirit, we too will produce fruits. And the Church enumerates 12 fruits that should be present in our lives. Charity, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faith, modesty, mildness, chastity, long-suffering, benignity, and continency. Those are the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. So we believe that all these gifts and virtues and graces are coming to us from Mary as a mediatrix and she gives us these special gifts and virtues and graces. And I realize that the secret of a perfect legionary service consists in a complete union with her who is so completely united to you. Now it says that there's a secret to perfect legionary service. And I always tell people that there are three secrets in the legion. The secret bag, and the fourth standing instruction of legion secrecy, and the secret of Mary. And so, for example, the secret bag is amazing that a worldwide organization can grow from all over the world just by passing a little bag under the table. You know, we're not fundraisers. We're not like the Knights of Columbus who do a tremendous job in raising a lot of money. We don't need a lot of money in the Legion. You know, really, the Legion is an amazing organization. If you've been to Conchilion and you see the headquarters of the Legion, you know, it's quite an impressive thing because it's not very fancy. You know, they're still typing on those old typewriters. You know, they don't use computers over there, at least the last time I was over there. They're truly living on just the secret bag. And that little donations we put in the secret bag have sent missionaries all over the world and have really paid for all everything that the Legion has and the Legion needs. So really the first secret of the Legion is the secret bag. Number two is the secrecy of confidentiality as far as any confidential matters learned at the meeting or in connection with legionary work. But the third secret of the Legion is the secret of Mary, which is what the Montfort calls the true devotion, which we'll get into in the next talk. But the secret of Mary and the secret of a perfect legionary service is a union with Mary who is so completely united to the Holy Spirit. So that's the secret of a perfect legionary service, is to be united to our Blessed Mother, to have complete union with Mary. And the saints tell us that if you want to be united with Christ, one with God, the best way to do that is through union with Our Lady. And then if you're united to Our Lady, she'll lead you into union with her Son and with the Heavenly Father. So union with Mary means trying to imitate her humility, her virtues. It means to try to think with Mary's mind, love with Mary's heart, make decisions with Mary's will, speak with Mary's words. It really is the true devotion. Union with Mary is living out the true devotion. Again, we'll get into that further later on in the weekend. Then at this point in the promise, we take the Legion standard in our hand. We put our hand on the Legion standard, and we say we wish to take in our hands the legionary standard, which seeks to set before our eyes these things. What things? Well, the fact that the Holy Spirit comes to regenerate the world through Mary. On the vexillum, you have the Holy Spirit, then you have Mary, the miraculous medal, then you have the world. So it's the Holy Spirit using Mary to bring Christ to the world, to regenerate the world in Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit is trying to do through our Blessed Mother. Okay. So we take in our hand the legionary standard, which sets before our eyes these things. Now this reminds us of how the Roman legionaries would carry their Roman standard, and how the knights would come up before their queen and pledge allegiance and pledge dedication to their queen. And we do that as well at the Acies, and we do that when we make the Legion promise. We put our hand on our staff and say we're going to serve Mary our Queen and Christ our King. I stand before you as her soldier and her child. That's a very important part of the Legion promise, is standing before Mary as a soldier and a child. Now we rarely hear those two words put together, soldier and child, but that's what we're supposed to be in the Legion. It's a Legion of Mary. It's a family, and Mary's our mother. So we're children in the family, but Mary's also our queen, and so we're soldiers of the queen. So Mary is our queen and our mother. Therefore, we're her soldier and her child. It's that parallel of queen, mother, soldier, and child. Now, a soldier, the qualities of a soldier would be initiative, discipline, vigor, a fighting spirit, courage, loyalty, as the Roman soldiers had in the Roman Legion. And the handbook tells us of that one soldier in Pompeii that even after the lava was coming down from the after the volcano exploded in Pompeii, the soldier was still standing at his guard. He would not run. He did not try to flee. He was standing there holding his staff when the hot molten lava came pouring over him. And that's an incredible dedication and loyalty to his duty in the Roman legion. And so Frank Duff says that if the Roman legionaries, the Roman soldiers, were so dedicated to serving an earthly emperor, we should be even more dedicated in serving a heavenly queen who is Mary. So we're called to be good soldiers, but also called to be good children. And so the qualities of a good child would be dependence, trust, confidence, receptivity, openness, this whole idea of trust. So we're both the child of Our Lady, but also the soldier. And that has a nice parallel to baptism and confirmation. Because in baptism, we become children of God. In confirmation, we become soldiers of God and adults in the church. So the Legion Promise can be seen to be the renewal of our baptismal vows, and also it can be seen to be the renewal of our confirmation commitment. I so declare my entire dependence upon her. So this is something that is also part of the true devotion in being dependent upon our Blessed Mother. Total dependence upon Mary, which is good because when we're dependent upon something, we can make progress. For example, if you take a train off the tracks, it's no longer dependent upon the tracks. It can't go anywhere. And that's how it is with our life. If we take the train, if we take ourselves off Mary's track, we might think we're free, but we can't go anywhere. So if we become dependent upon the track, we can make progress in the spiritual life. You take the boat out of the water, it's free of the water, but it can't go anywhere. Make a boat dependent upon the water, then it can make progress in the spiritual life. So dependence upon Our Lady is a very important part in the spiritual life. She is the mother of my soul. Her heart and mine are one. Again, one of the most beautiful phrases of the Legion Promise is that she is the mother of my soul. And because she's your spiritual mother, you're not allowed to worry about anything. From now on, when you leave this retreat, you can no longer worry about things. Because worry is a minor form of atheism and agnosticism. Is that you can't worry about things. You can pray for things and pray for people. But really, since Mary is your spiritual mother, since she's the mother of your soul, you become dependent upon her. You have to trust Our Lady to take care of all your spiritual needs. Again, that's part of the true devotion. And the handbook says that we're more dependent upon Mary than the unborn babe is dependent upon the mother. So we're more dependent upon Our Lady for grace than the unborn child is dependent upon the mother for life, which is a tremendous, tremendous point that Frank Duff makes in the handbook. Her heart and mine are one. So we wish to be one with our Blessed Mother, to have one heart. And from that single heart, notice it's no longer two, it's one. From that single heart, she speaks again those words of old. So it's not us, it's Mary who's living within us after we make this Legion Promise. So she speaks again those words of old. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, and once again thou comest by her to do great things. So Mary re-echoes her words she spoke to the angel Gabriel. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. I am the servant of the Lord. I am the slave of the Lord. That's what it means. So it's a holy slavery of love. That's why the Moffat recommends wearing a chain when you make the consecration to remind you that you belong to Jesus through Mary. And once again, thou comest by her to do great things. So again, in the Legion, we're not called just to do little piddly things. We're called to do great things for God and for the salvation of souls. Let thy power overshadow me and come into my soul with fire and love. So we're asking that the Holy Spirit will come down upon us just as the Holy Spirit came down upon the waters at creation, and the Holy Spirit hovered over the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy Spirit came upon Our Lady at the Annunciation and Pentecost. So we're asking the Holy Spirit to come upon us during Our Legion Promise, and to come into our soul with both fire and love. So we wish this to be another Pentecost, another Annunciation for us. And make it one with Mary's love and Mary's will to save the world. So from now on, we wish to be one with Our Lady. And De Montfort says that. He says, whatever he sees Mary in a soul, he will rush upon that person with his grace. To make it one with Mary's love and Mary's will to save the world. So we wish to be one with Mary in her love and in her decision and in her will to try to save the world. So that Christ, so that I may be pure in her who is made immaculate by thee. So remember, we had the idea of poverty, being poor in spirit. Now we have the idea of chastity in the Legion Promise, of being pure, being chaste with our Blessed Mother by the power of the Holy Spirit, because it was Our Lady was made immaculate by the Holy Spirit. So we wish also to be made pure of heart in order to be able to see God. The Beatitude says, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. So if we want to see God in heaven, we need to be pure of heart. And plus, if we want to see God on earth, we need to be pure of heart too. Because if we're not pure of heart, we will gradually lose our faith. And that's the reason why so many people have lost their faith in America, and I'm sure Canada, is because there's very little purity of heart. And without that, it's impossible not only to see God in heaven, but you can't even see God through faith in this life. So if you hear of somebody losing their faith, it's 9 times out of 10 because they've lost the purity of heart. So that Christ my Lord may likewise grow in me through thee. So we wish Christ to grow within us. That's the purpose of life, is to have Jesus grow within us. So that I with her, his mother, may bring him to the world and to the souls who need him. So we want to be bringing Christ to the world with our Blessed Mother. So we wish to be united with Our Lady in her spiritual motherhood of souls, in her maternity of souls, that Mary cares for souls. We cannot be united to Our Lady and not care for souls. If we're close to Our Lady, we're going to be caring about getting other people to heaven. So that I with her, his mother, may bring him to the world and to the souls who need him, so that they and I, the battle won, may reign with her forever in the glory of the Blessed Trinity. So we pray that if we're dedicated legionaries, we may be victorious and reign with Our Lady and Our Lord forever in heaven. Remember that the church on earth is the church militant. The church in purgatory is the church suffering. The church in heaven is the church triumphant. And so while we're on earth, we can't take it easy. We have to be the church militant and really work hard for the kingdom of God. And the idea of triumph is that one day we will be glorious in heaven. If we have suffered with Christ, St. Paul says, we will reign with him. So in heaven, we will be glorious and victorious with Christ. And the last paragraph of the handbook of the promise says, confident that thou wilt so receive me and use me and turn my weakness into strength this day, I take my place in the ranks of a legion and I venture to promise a faithful service. So we're saying that we have confidence. Even though we're not worthy to be legionaries and to serve Our Lady, we're confident that she will accept us and that she'll turn our weakness into strength this day, the day of your promise. And I take my place in the ranks of the legion. See, no one can take your place. It's something that we were always taught in the legion, is that nobody can give your heart to God or do your work for God. I can do what I can do, but only you can do what God wants you to do. Somebody else might sit in your seat at the meeting, but nobody can take your place in the legion. Only you, it says in the handbook, can give your heart to God and do God's work. Nobody else can do it for you. If you don't do it, nobody will do it. So only you can do it. So you take my, it says, I take my place in the ranks of the legion, and I venture to promise a faithful service. Now notice it doesn't say I'm going to be perfect. It doesn't say I'm never going to make a mistake. It says, I venture to promise a faithful service. that says, I will try. I will try my best. I venture to promise a faithful service. And notice it doesn't say, I will be successful. It doesn't say that. It says, I will promise to be faithful. Mother Teresa says, we can't always be successful, but we can always be faithful. She says, God's not calling us to be successful. He's calling us to be faithful. And everybody can be faithful to the Legion and to Our Lady. I will submit fully to its discipline which binds me to my comrades. So then, remember we had poverty, then we had chastity, now we have obedience in the Legion. I will submit to its discipline. That's the idea of obedience to Our Lady and obedience to the Legion system. I will submit fully to its discipline. And this discipline is what binds me to my comrades and it shapes us to an army. It keeps our line as on we march with Mary. I've noticed that that particular line is the hardest one to pronounce when legionaries are making the promise. Listen, next time you have somebody making the promise, they always mess up that line. And keeps our line as on we march with Mary. It's a tough line to say, but it's just so funny because I always notice, well, before somebody makes a promise, will they mess up that line, I always think? And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But the idea is that obedience, submitting to Our Lady and the Legion, binds us to one another, to our brothers and sisters, and has shaped us to an army, and keeps our line as on we march with Mary. And that's what's depicted in the Legion picture. We have the Holy Spirit and Our Lady and all the legionaries in perfect order, in perfect uniformity, keeping their line as on they march with Mary to convert souls, to bring people back to God. To work your will, to operate your miracles of grace, which will renew the face of the earth and establish your reign, most Holy Spirit, over all. So we're in the Legion to do God's will, to work His will, and to operate miracles of grace. You see, that's what it is. Every time somebody comes back to confession after 5 or 10 or 20 years, that's a miracle of grace. It might not be a physical cure of somebody, you know, being cured of cancer or leprosy or whatever, but it's a miracle of grace whenever somebody comes back to church and you become instruments of God working miracles of grace. I'm sure you've seen it in bringing people back to the sacrament and bringing people back to, you know, closer to God. It gives them miracles. We are used by God to work miracles of grace, and which renews the face of the earth, which is the idea of Pentecost, and establishes the reign of the Holy Spirit over all. And then the prayer ends by the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, which is the sign of the cross. And Cardinal Suinen says that it's very important that legionaries have a great love for the cross, as Father Bradshaw said in his tape today, that legionaries have to be willing to embrace the cross. It's part of the Christian life. If we do not suffer with Christ, we will not rise with Him. If we never have a Good Friday, we can't have an Easter Sunday. So we can't have the resurrection without the Good Friday. So there it is, the Legion Promise. It's a powerful, powerful prayer, and written by someone who will one day be a canonized saint. You know, someone once asked Frank Duff why he never married. Because, you know, there's a lot of women that were very interested in Frank Duff. At one time he had 4 secretaries that did all his typing and correspondence. And any one of them, I'm sure, would have loved to be Frank Duff's wife, but he never asked any of them. And someone says, Frank Duff, why didn't you marry? He says, why should I make one woman miserable when I can keep at least 6 waiting in hopeful expectation? So Frank Duff was quite a character. In fact, one of my favorite stories occurred down in Cork. There was a recruiting drive, and all the junior legionaries were outside the cathedral trying to get active and auxiliary members. A little 10-year-old junior comes up to an old man and says, do you want to become an auxiliary member of the Legion of Mary? And he says, why can't I become an active member? And the kid says, because you're too old. And the old man says, well, my name is Frank Duff. And that happened on his 80th birthday. You know, after Frank Duff died, my dad went over to Ireland for the funeral with some other legionaries from Philadelphia. And after he came back, he was able to write to a friend of ours, and he asked for a relic of Frank Duff, hoping to get a prayer book or a rosary or a medal or something that Frank Duff had used. You know what they sent him? They sent him Frank Duff stapler. So now we have, so we like it because it's a third-class relic, and every time we use it, it punches out the second-class relic. Or the other way around. And so Frank Duff will one day be a canonized saint, God willing. So anyone who could write a promise as beautiful as this must have had a deep spirituality, a oneness with Our Lady, and a real insight into the Holy Spirit. So the Legion Promise is, according to Cardinal Stuenens, probably one of the most beautiful prayers ever written in the 20th century. And so we're very privileged and grateful that we have such a beautiful promise that we make. So we should meditate upon it and read it many times, memorize it, in fact, if we could, and recite it often, and renew it on the special days when we can gain the plenary indulgence for renewing it.